Imagine if you were in the military and you alone were given the task of taking an entire army down by yourself. It sounds like an impossible task, doesn't it? In the same way, your marriage facing a crisis, you can't do it alone. It's critical to surround yourself with people who can help you. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They lead our marriage department here, and we're going to begin with the continuation of a conversation Jim Daly and I had with Mark and Jill Savage. In previous episodes, Mark had confessed to Jill that he'd had an affair, and they went through a roller coaster recovery process. Here now, they discuss some things that helped them reset after the devastating betrayal.
You speak to this idea of the gift of accountability. So let's move through that. You guys, you know, you're in a better place. What is the gift of accountability now?
Well, I think an unhealthy view of accountability is that someone is there to police another person's life. And that's incredibly unhealthy. The gift of accountability is that I would push information to Jill about where I was going, what I was doing, not out of defensiveness, but out of love.
Huh, that is big.
That's huge. It was totally a brain changer for me. I had to make trips back to our home where both of our families lived and where this person that I had the affair with lived. And I would first ask Jill to go with me, like if I had to help my mom on the house, would you go with me? And if she couldn't go, then I always had in my back pocket somebody who would go with me. And Carl, he was my go-to guy. And
just
he was
a good friend?
Good
mm-hmm.
friend.
Wow,
and
good for him.
I did that so that for my family security, but also for myself, that I didn't want to have to answer questions about where I was. I wanted to create a safety for my family and for me.
And never had to ask him to do
right,
that.
Right, and another good sign of change.
Yeah.
And that's good. Jill, speak to that.
It was huge because he opened his phone up. He said, here's my phone. You have access to it
and
anytime.
That was different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it was locked down after, especially after I found the first
computers
text.
Computers were locked down.
Everything was locked down. And he gave me a master key to his life and said, I have no more secrets. That was very trust building.
Yes.
Now, it takes time because to rebuild trust, it's changed behavior over time. And so it was a consistent opening, and that made all the difference in the world.
Jill, you know, we've got only a few minutes left, and I want to come back to both of you on some really important aspects of this, and that is forgiveness. I mean, we've touched on it, but we really got to hear from you, particularly, Jill, obviously, the depth of that forgiveness. How do you find it? Where did you go? And is it deep and real? Or are you trying to just live, you know, what you're supposed to do?
Here's what I learned, Jim, about forgiveness, and I think it is something that is not as widely understood as it needs to be. Forgiveness isn't once and done. I didn't just forgive the affair and then we moved on. I had to forgive dozens, hundreds of things. I'll give you an example. I drove by a hotel that I learned that they had met at. Okay, I drive by that hotel, and I am grieved.
It's a dagger.
Yeah, and I'm grieved. I'm grieved at the deception. Mm-hmm. I'm grieved at the betrayal. And that day, as I drive by there, I have to go, Lord, I need to deal with this in my heart. And I have to forgive the deception and the betrayal as it relates to that hotel. But the next day, I drive by the hotel again, and that day, I am grieved at the financial mess that this made in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I have to forgive the financial mess. And so I think a lot of times we think that it's just this one-time thing. It is, you have to forgive layers and layers and layers and layers. So when those things raise up, you got to deal with them in your heart then and there. And sometimes I would communicate that forgiveness to Mark, and sometimes that was just between me and God.
Yeah. Sure, of course.
You know.
Mark, let me ask you to pray for those couples yeah. right here at the yeah. end. Give that word to the Lord to use this mm-hmm. program, to use the story God has given you and Jill to
Absolutely.
Touch lives.
Father, I pray right now, on my heart is the couple that aren't even together, and maybe they're hearing this program and they're weeping and angry and confused. Father, reach into their mess and the hand of a loving Father and just help lead them out of that mess. And Lord, pour out hope.
Yeah.
Use this program to breathe life, redemption, direction. God, your grace, your love is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
Your mercy is endless. Lord, pour it out today.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Aaron, following up on Jill's earlier point, forgiveness really does happen in layers. It's not a one-time thing. In the counseling that you do with so many different couples, how have you seen that kind of progression of forgiveness to play out?
It's incredible to watch the process, because often we do assume that, oh, I forgave you and it's over. And often the person who has been the offender wants it to be over. They don't want to talk about it. But I will often say within counseling couples that have been through a crisis like infidelity, that it is an ongoing conversation. And the thing that I love to hear the most from someone who has offended a spouse through infidelity or through breaking trust is, I'm here to listen for as long as you need me to, whenever you need me to.
Hmm.
And if it's 5 years from now and something comes up for you and you want to talk about it, I want to be able to listen. Now, I know that there's extremes, and I'm not talking about, you know, every single day for hours and hours that we're talking about the same thing. But it's important to know that I can go to my spouse when those feelings arise, because they will. And I love in Jill's story how she talked about driving past a hotel that some of the affair occurred at. It triggered her. Well, of mm-hmm. course it did. And how healing is it to go to her spouse and be able to share, gosh, when I drove by that today, it broke my heart and I'm struggling. And to be able to be comforted by your spouse builds that connection. And it's like a healing salve.
Mm-hmm.
And I have couples that I've worked with over the years. And one comes to mind from years back that, you know, we would sit down in our session and, you know, what are we talking about today? What aspect of recovery, of healing? And whatever comes up, then they talk about it, but in a different way, kind of like we talked about in the last episode, that it's through the lens of caring. And just listening and being able to engage and to let the other person know, hey, I'm here with you as you hurt.
Well, and Focus on the Family is here for you to the degree that we can be. We have caring Christian counselors. We've got resources. We're a phone call away. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, 800-232-6459. Call and request to have one of our counselors give you a call back. Now, we can't have an ongoing counseling relationship like Aaron was describing, but we have a network of trusted Christian counselors. We'd be happy to make a referral to someone in your area, but call, let us feel with you, and you'll find some next steps in that process. And for more about what the Savages learned through their rather difficult journey, request Jill's excellent book, Your Next Steps. And we're making that available when you join the support team here. Make a monthly pledge or a one-time gift of any amount, and we'll send that book to you. Again, it's called Your Next Steps, and the details are in the show notes. Next time, Rob and Gina Flood offer a simple question you can ask your spouse to improve your communication. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.